Tell you what, Jim picked some great songs. They go right along with what we're going to be talking about this morning. All right, everyone, let's see it. Come on now. Weren't you excited at that game, huh? Got me so pumped up, I'm thinking about getting a Thomas Walk-Up haircut. That was just exciting. I don't have enough hair for that, but that was just exciting, and I'm hoping that today will be as equally exciting and will have the same outcome. We continue in our study of Ecclesiastes this morning. I hope you've gotten one of those booklets. If you haven't, you can find them back here or on the way out back there. You can study along with us. I think you'll find the study being much more rewarding for you if you do that. Remind you that if you would like to meet with our elders, a couple of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room out the back door and to the left. If you have any prayer requests, they are happy to meet with you. And I know, again, that a number of you have taken advantage of that. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the joy that you have given us in life. We know that all good things come from you. So we honor and praise you this morning. And we wrestle with life as Colette has done, as we've read in Ecclesiastes. We know that ultimately all trails that we would walk in life, if we would follow them as you would have us, would lead us to you. Bless now the preaching and hearing of your word. So your son we pray. Amen. If only. Much of life is lived. If only. If only I had a Jaguar. Or if you want to even make it sound cool, a Jaguar, right? If only I had a Jaguar. It's good to be bad, right? That's what the commercial says. If only I had a Jaguar. Then everything would be ooh, if only I had a Coke. Cool people drink Coke. Or a beer. You know, life is good when you have Bud Light. Or, you know, if you use Chanel No. 5, you would look like that. Except if you're a man, of course. But, you would look like that. Now, advertisers, of course, have been making good effect of this type of thing to tell you that your life is incomplete, but it would be complete if you would just buy their product. And, of course, it all sounds ridiculous, but the advertisers have shown us that it works to convince you of this. I would be happy if only. And Colette has caught up in all of this. If only I could have some fun. And so he turned right on his journey on Hedonistic Boulevard. He wanted to avoid the difficulties of life. Just find a way of distracting yourself. And fun works as a pretty good distraction. So we read this in chapter 2, verse 1. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. Well, he's turned to the tried and true method that many people have used for centuries of distracting yourself with fun. He turned to alcohol. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. Oh, I went to Bonita Creek on Friday night with my friends, and we drank a few too many, but boy, we had fun. Of course, there are other ways of distracting yourself with fun. About a week ago, KTRE ran a news story in which they interviewed some students. It looked like SFA students to me, but they interviewed some college students. And they asked them about what they do in their free time, and they were talking about binge-watching television shows and how it was bad for your eyes. It would dry your eyes out. Some of them were watching binge-watching television shows 8, 10, and 12 hours a day. I can only imagine what the professors are dealing with in the class. Mr. Smith, what do you think about that topic we've been discussing? Think? Oh, I got it. I think Orange is the New Black is cool. Right? I mean, binge watching 8, 10, 12 hours a day, distracting ourselves. Of course, we find other ways, vacation, hunting, reading, distractions. But distractions, of course, are just that. They are distractions. And for those who went to Bonita Creek on Friday night, Saturday morning still comes and the headache comes with it. And your grandpa still has cancer and racism is still in the world. All of these things Colette discovered in his distractions. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? And so he turned right again. This time Colette is looking for something different. And so he turns right on Materialism Street. We read this in chapter 2. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves to flourish trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. In his book about Ecclesiastes, Tommy Nelson tells about Barbara Hutton. Barbara Hutton was the granddaughter of F.W. Woolworth of the Woolworth chain stores. And when he died, he left an inheritance, and she got an inheritance at age 21 in 1933 of over $50 million and promptly began going down Materialism Street. She bought a 59-room yacht. She bought all kinds of art, Chinese art that was very rare. She bought a private rail car that had its own nice back porch to look out, nice dining room in it, and a marble tub in it. But Barbara Hutton was never happy. She went through 7 marriages, one of them to Cary Grant. And she struggled with alcohol and drug abuse most of her life. Now, most of us, of course, are not going to have that kind of money that we can buy all those sorts of things. But we imagine if we could just buy that one next thing, that new dress. Oh, if I only had that new dress, or that new shotgun, or that new video game, or whatever. If only. Happiness is always just around the corner. And Colette says, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So he turned right again, turned right to know more, went on Wisdom Avenue this time. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? Michael Polanyi was a chemist in the 1930s in Germany. And he could see the handwriting on the wall, and he decided to get out of Germany and fled to England. And while he was there, he turned from chemist to a philosopher to think about how could this great culture of the German people and the education of the German people turn to Hitler and Nazism? How could they do that? They had abandoned wisdom for lockstep. And Colette has discovered that wisdom doesn't quite do it either. The fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. Are you seeing the problem? Turn right, turn right, turn right. And he's going in circles over and over. And life, he discovers, is meaningless. Where is it that Colette will find happiness? Where is it he will find joy? And in the midst of going through all of this and turning right, he stumbles upon it. Right at the end of chapter 2, it was our scripture reading this morning. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without Him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. There are 5 of these kinds of statements. Again, you can get a little depressed reading through Ecclesiastes because everything is meaningless, right? But you come across 5 of these statements, what scholars refer to as carpe diem statements throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. Carpe diem, seize the day, seize the joy, Colette is saying, seize the joy that you find in your life. And they come typically in the same way. Enjoy what you eat, enjoy what you drink, enjoy the work that you do. Is the glass half empty? Or is it half full? Well, of course, it's both, right? But it depends on how you look at it. You could spend a lot of time looking at the meaninglessness of life, as Colette is doing over and over, and figure out that kind of life doesn't seem to be worth living. Or you can look at the positive things in life, the joy of your family, the joy of your friends, the joy of good food, the joy of work, the joy of victory in basketball, right? Just before spring break, I went over to Regay Elementary to mentor the child I mentor over there. I'm sitting at the lunch table with the kids, and he's across from me, and they're talking about different things. And one of the kids said something about Tyler, and one of the boys at the table said, I went on a field trip to Tyler once. He said, you know what? They let you do anything you want there. And you can buy everything for free. I went home. Lisa and I were getting ready to go to the Dominican Republic for spring break. I went home and said, forget the Dominican Republic. We got to go to Tyler. This place is heaven. And now with her being sick, it seems like maybe we should have gone to Tyler, right? But this boy found this joy. You can find small joys in life all over the place. Every good thing comes from the source of all goodness, which is God. The exhilaration you feel going down the ski slopes. God. The joy of a cup of coffee on your back porch, watching the squirrels and the birds. God. Spring. Spring in the air. The azaleas blooming and the dogwoods blooming. God. The joy of a good book. God. Joyful, joyful. We adore thee. God has provided all of these blessings, all of these joys. And Colette, he stumbled upon it. There's good things in this life. And the satisfaction that God has given us. C.S. Lewis wrote a little book titled Surprised by Joy. It's really his spiritual autobiography of how he was an atheist who came to faith in God. He said there was always this something he was looking for in his life, and he didn't know really what to call it. He ended up referring to it as joy. He thought he would find it in academia, so he did all of these studies, and that wasn't quite it. But he found it, or at least a sense of it, when he came to know God in Jesus Christ. Lewis wrote, joy has indeed one characteristic and one only. The fact that anyone who has experienced it will want it again. That's true, isn't it? And it was this joy that Paul and Barnabas were talking about. Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas, these guys are going to what is now Turkey. And they were going and they were talking to these people in this place about God, and there was a crippled guy, and they healed this guy, and all of a sudden the people in the town just said, we're going to make offerings to these guys. They must be gods in the flesh. And here's the response of Paul and Barnabas to them. Friend, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Every good thing comes from God. And so Paul and Barnabas are talking about this same joy that C.S. Lewis had talked about. And Colette has stumbled upon that joy here. But what if that joy he stumbled upon really is only a shadow? It's just merely a shadow of the real joy. Because the joy we experience in this life is incomplete, isn't it? And you have joy, but you also have cancer. You have joy, but you also have to work with jerks sometimes, right? You have joy, but then the divorce comes. We know that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're ultimately going to experience that ultimate joy when we cross over to the other side. Colette, as you read through Ecclesiastes, doesn't seem to have much hope for that, but followers of Jesus, we have that hope. As what Jim led us in when that day comes. That Christ is going to return. That we are going to be raised. That we are going to be with God. That is coming. There's a time coming that this shadow, this joy shadow that we've talked about, that Colette has referred to, the reality is going to come way off at that point when Jesus comes again. But what if you could begin experiencing that joy, that real joy, that ultimate joy, even now? Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, not meaninglessness, not a few joys now and then, not some joys that go away because you die, but life to the full. We actually see it in Jesus, don't we? Another great song, Jim, Jesus, meek and gentle. We see it in Jesus. We see in Jesus this person with a clear sense of purpose in his life. Some people talk about Jesus as if the whole purpose of Jesus coming was to die. Well, if that's true, then there's no need for the Sermon on the Mount. If that's true, there's no need to see Jesus in the temptations. But Jesus didn't simply come to die. He came to show us how to live, to show us how we were meant to be, to show us how we could be. So we see the purpose in life that Jesus has rooted in God, a life of ultimate fulfillment. And he did it with such peace. Remember the story of the disciples with Jesus in the boat and the storm's going on? The disciples are scared to death. And what is Jesus doing? Sleeping. How do you sleep in the storm? But he is a person of great peace. A certain calmness is over him, even as he stands before Pilate. He knows he's about to be executed. Pilate's about to condemn him, and there's this peace, there's this calmness in him. And he lives this unpretentious life. He never felt like he needed to put this mask on for people around him. He wasn't trying to impress people. He wasn't afraid of what they might think of him if they knew who he really was. He spoke to governors and lepers in the same way. We have indeed found heaven on earth, and it's not in Tyler. It's in Jesus. Jesus Christ. It's in him we get this glimpse of this perfect life. We get this glimpse of how we were meant to be. We get this glimpse of how we could be. What would it be like to live in a place where everyone had the character of Jesus? Everyone was kind. Everyone was good. Nobody talked behind your back. No one lied to you. What would it be like to have that character in you, to feel a real sense of purpose in your life, to be at peace as Jesus was at peace, to never feel like you need to wear a mask and be pretentious. It would be a life of joy, life to the full, as Jesus described it. The Apostle Paul talked about it as fullness. Fullness. He said, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, that God has filled Jesus and Jesus has now filled us. And that fullness, the language that Paul is using there, he's talking about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And when we have that Spirit, that fullness in us, then we are filled with love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. When we are filled with that Spirit, and we are given meaning, and ultimate purpose. You remember what Glinda the Good Witch said to Dorothy? Dorothy said, I just want to go home. And Glinda said, well, you've always had it within you to go home. The ruby slippers. Just click them together, and you can go home. And we too want to go home, and we too have it within us to not just go home, but to have home with us. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the Spirit that gives love and joy and peace and patience and all of those character traits of Christ. What if Dorothy, what if she knew all along on the journey through Oz, what if Dorothy always knew that she had the ruby slippers and that the ruby slippers, if she clicked them together, would take her home? What if she knew that but never utilized them? I think we might conclude with Dorothy must like Oz better than home. Well, what if you know that you have the power of God to give you the peace, to give you the joy, the ultimate joy in this life in you, the Holy Spirit? What if you know that, but you don't utilize that? What might we conclude about you? Let's stand and sing.